children, spiritually, financially, ministry. My pastor and his wife are outstanding preachers and teachers of God's Word. How is any of this possible if their previous divorces from other people against God's Word, if their previous divorces grieve God, then why would He still speak to them or use them? All right, very quickly, we're right at the end here. You know, we are not to lust after the benefits, the success, and the prosperity of the wicked. Psalm 37. Fret not yourself because of the prosperity of the wicked. You say, wicked? A pastor wicked? A pastor's wicked if he persists in ungodly behavior without repentance, and so are you. That's what wickedness is. Evil is disagreeing with what God has said. That's evil. That's wickedness. And that's why we must repent. People can use their natural gifts and accomplish a lot. God might even still use some people. Because after all, we are all sinners, saved by grace, aren't we? But you know what? That pastor and his wife have no moral authority to speak to their congregation, and therefore they are sowing the seeds for more rampant breakdown of marriage and the family. Think about it. We could say a lot more. Thanks for joining us. Go to our website, saveus.org. Look at all the fact sheets are there. Get a copy of this wonderful book, Because of a Covenant. And pray for our families and our churches. God bless you. Be a blessing. Let's get back to God.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of half hour. Sharon Harris is going to be with us, and Dottie's going to be with us. We're going to be talking about Heart and Body Extract. We'll have last half hour. We'll do open lines. But hi, Sharon. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Dr.
I'm doing fine. And you've been off on vacation here for a couple of weeks?
Yes, I went off to Phoenix and Tucson. I really like Tucson. What a nice city that is. Very beautiful. Lots of natural beauty there. Liked it really a lot. Of course, there's that horrific, terrible thing that happened there. But aside for that tragedy, I like the city and I like the surrounding areas of Tucson. Very beautiful.
Well, it really is. Did you get down to Sedona?
No, we just basically went to Phoenix and the Tucson area.
Well, it is. It's beautiful. Anyway, I'm glad you're back, and I know you've been working very hard for a good long while. And, of course, Sharon really has devised this. She's been out, about 9 years now?
Actually, it's 10 years.
10 years with Heart
Amazing,
and Body Extract.
Yeah.
Right, it sure is. They've been with us for some time as advertisers, and they do really help keep us on our shortwave. So, anyway, we, of course, want our listeners to know about the product that you have because, of course, it's being sold not only here in the United States but all throughout the world. And then we've got on line one, Dottie. Hi, Dottie. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, too. I'm so glad that Sharon had a good trip and got back safely.
All right, fine. Well, Dottie, why don't you tell our listeners about your experience with the product Heart and Body Extract, which is basically a combination of herbs and certainly it's cayenne pepper and garlic. But how did you get started with it?
Well, I had a long list of things that needed attention for my health. And so when I heard, Sharon, that evening in July of 04 is when I really paid attention to what the lady was saying, because I had high blood pressure, I had had a heart attack, and it left its damage, but I had sugar diabetes, and I had neuropathy. So as I said, I had my long list. And so upon hearing what she had to say and offer in her experience of even formulating the extract, I went ahead and called the next morning and ordered product and started with it. And as soon as I did, within 24 to 48 hours, my neuropathy was certainly going away, and has continued to do so these 6 years that I've been taking it. So I was just greatly relieved because the circulation was coming back, because Heart and Body Extract was cleaning out my circulatory system.
All right, fine.
And getting that blood on down into my feet.
All right. And anyway, Chris's neuropathy and Sydney.
Yes.
Then, of course, you had some visual problems, and they seemed to get better as well, didn't they?
Yes. In 2000, my central vision was hampered, and I couldn't see through to read or write or drive a car or whatever. And it went right straight to my retinas and started cleaning out that blockage.
It didn't completely clear it up, but at least you're a lot better.
No, it started working on it, though, and there's a vast bit of difference.
Well, that's the important thing. Well, our telephone number, if you're out there in the list, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment for Sharon, who actually produces the Heart and Body Extract, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I suspect a fair number of people have actually taken this out there in the listening audience. You have a question or comment, why give us a call. It is sold with a money-back guarantee, and we'll be right back. Well, go right ahead, Sharon. And Sydney, you might as well go ahead and list once again the products that are in there, because people need to know what's there and why it is important.
Sure. Well, Heart and Body Extract is a liquid. It's an organic and wild-crafted herbal formula. Wild-crafted means that the herbs are grown in the wild, and organic means that they would be grown in the farm without any pesticides and herbicides. So the quality of the formula is excellent, and being liquid, that means that it's assimilable and absorbable, and you get the most out of the formula for benefit. Now, what does it have in it? Well, it has in it garlic, which promotes a healthy immune system. Garlic is a powerful antioxidant. Antioxidants can help the body to fight against damaging free radicals. It also supports healthy blood pressure levels and cholesterol levels already in the normal range. Next is hawthorn berry. Hawthorn berry, of course, has been around for thousands of years, and many people know about hawthorn and its many benefits, including restoring and stimulating the heart and the arterial circulation. It will regulate and balance the whole cardiovascular system. Next is coleus. This particular herb has a 3,000-year history in Indian medicine. It's used as a tonic for promoting a healthy heart and lungs. It also will help to support blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Next in the formula is motherwort, which is a circulatory stimulant, and it is a relaxant and a nerve tonic. Next is bilberry, which is very excellent for the eyes. It will dilate blood vessels and promotes a healthy immune system. Next is butcher's broom, which will help to maintain vascular permeability and assist the circulation. Next is mistletoe, which promotes a healthy immune system. It has a calming effect on the body. It'll help to support healthy blood pressure levels already in the normal range. Often I have people ask me, mistletoe, well, isn't that a poison? No, not in the amount that we have in our formula. The amount of mistletoe is very, very tiny, and in small amounts, it's actually very beneficial. In large amounts, yes, it could be toxic. But the amount in Heart and Body is very tiny, so it can only be good for you. In fact, in Germany, they use mistletoe, the doctors, to help people with fighting cancer. So certainly the doctors in Germany do know what they're doing for helping the immune system. So next in the formula is kelp. It's used mainly for iodine, and the effect has it on the thyroid gland. Next is ginger, which will help to support great liver function, and it's nervine. It'll stimulate the circulation, especially in the extremities. And then finally in the formula...
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Sharon's just pointing out that the product really contains bilberry, and of course it has calea, and it has cayenne, and it has motherwort, it has garlic, it has hawthorn, it has kelp, it has mistletoe. It's a combination of so many different types of herbs, but each one was put there for a specific purpose. Now, if you're out in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And what are the other things that we missed?
We missed cayenne pepper. Now, cayenne pepper is one of the more important herbs in the formula. The three most important herbs in the formula would be the garlic and the coleus and the cayenne. And the hawthorn, I should not forget that. That would probably be number three, and then coleus number four. But as a very important herb in the formula, cayenne pepper will equalize the blood flow in the body. It enhances the effect of all of the herbs in the formula. It'll stimulate the body and the organs properly so that they can cleanse and function optimally.
I was reading an article up on the internet, simply by an older doctor who said that he had never lost, he was a general practitioner, had a lot of patients with heart attack. He said he never lost a patient from heart attack because immediately when he was called, he gave them cayenne pepper. How he did it, I'm not certain whether he gave it to him a teaspoon or what it was, but he swore by that, and that's an old-time remedy, as is hawthorn, specifically for the heart.
That's right. Now I have a kitty cat. The kitty cat's 21 and a half, and he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, and he from time to time does have attacks. And exactly what you say, if he starts to have an episode whereby he's breathing hard and he's meowing, et cetera, we administer heart and body extract, and within about 2 to 3 minutes he's calming down. 21 and a half is very elderly for a cat. Given his advanced age, he's doing well. But, you know, something starts to go at that age. And for him, his weaker system is his heart.
How do you give it to him? Do you give it to him with a dropper?
We give it to him with a dropper. And with a kitty cat or a small child, et cetera, you need to dilute it with water. So for him, he gets maybe about 5 drops mixed with 1 mil of water. And when he's yowling, opening his mouth, we just squirt it right into his mouth. And within about 3 or 4 minutes, he calms down and he's fine. And he's drinking and eating and walking and doing his thing.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, prefer taking pills. But basically, of course, then it has to go through the digestive tract. The beauty of this is, of course, you just put it in sublingual, and it's absorbed. The amazing thing is the sublingual area is just very rich in blood vessels, and it goes right through the mucosa, so it gets right into the bloodstream, doesn't have to go through the digestive tract, and where you lose a lot of it, and where the structure of all of these things is altered. So I think the idea of sublingual administrations is really very, very important, don't you?
Oh, yes, I really do. It's a very quick administration, and it is definitely very effective as far as the absorption and assimilation. I get that question from time to time, how come you don't have capsules and why don't you have tablets? I say, well, because the reason we don't do that is because we want the formula to work as very best as possible, and liquids are the very best because it goes right into your bloodstream. It doesn't have to go through the stomach and through the bowels and then through the bloodstream. So much better absorption, much faster.
And, of course, you don't necessarily do what people want. You know, people want something easy, convenient.
That's
right. You do what's right for them.
You're absolutely right. And then sometimes I get people say, gee, the drops taste strong. And I replied recently to a gentleman that said that, I just got my heart and body extract, and these drops taste strong. And I said, yes, they are strong. And that's because we want you to get the great benefits that this formula will offer to you. So the benefits are what really counts, not the taste.
All right, fine. Well, now, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about the product? What about your website? How can people order it if they'd like to? Heart and Body Extract.
Sure, they can order online, heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com, or give us a call, 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305.
All right. We do know, of course, that you are selling this not only in the United States, but throughout the world. And certainly are people hearing about this on the Internet? How are they learning about this?
Well, a lot of people hear about it through you, Dr. Stan. And Dottie has been a true inspiration to others, too, because when we answer the phone, Tony Marsh and I, we hear reference to, I can relate to that lady that has the vision problem. So, you know, certainly a lot of people hear about it through Dr. Stan and the website, and people hear about it all over the world with that website and with the radio shows and the archives.
Well, Dottie, certainly, you know, you've been at it since 2004, and how are you doing with your peripheral neuropathy now? Does it feel better, and what about the heart?
Well, it's just improving every day. You know, it is a process, and it's nutrition that I give to myself every time I pick up my Heart and Body Extract bottle and take some of it. And I know that I can never overdose on it. I don't have any side effects with it because it's all natural, and it's just wonderful. It's a wow product. It's faithful to me, and I'm faithful to be sure that I take it because it has helped me. My hair, my nails were pitiful sight. They were just thin like tomato peel. That's the only way I know how to describe it, and now they're good and healthy because my blood is healthy, because it cleans out all the garbage and gets rid of the gunk in the blood and the walls of the circulatory system. And, of course, that goes all through my body and helps my kidneys and my liver. And now, instead of down in 20% performance, my kidneys and liver are up in the 90s in function. So I'm really pleased with that. But it is a process because the nutrition that's in Heart and Body Extract, we really can't get in our food today because of the way the food industry has had to function for volume. And with no pesticides, and this is organically grown, and it's truly a natural, nutritious additive that you can use for your body. So anybody in the sound of my voice, if you want to really be responsible for yourself, get some Heart and Body Extract and see what it'll do for you.
All right, fine. Well, if you have a question, have a comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and certainly, usually we have at least a couple of calls from people out across the country who've tried it, and we've never had a complaint. Most of the people have had either a question or a comment that it has tended to help them, and I know from one of our very, very good friends, a woman who lived with my wife and myself for some time after a personal tragedy that in her life that she was having terrible problems. She couldn't walk down to the mailbox without difficulty, and then, of course, she started on the product, and really she just described an amazing, amazing improvement. So certainly individual testimonials are certainly one of the best ways we have of knowing about this, but you did actually help or provide the medicine for a naturopath, I think, who ran a control study on that. How did that turn out?
Yeah, it was basically an open label study whereby everyone knew what they were taking, because with our fine formula there is distinctive taste, and so it wouldn't be possible to have kind of like a placebo because of the distinctive taste. And what the doctors were studying were basically blood pressure, which was not a hard thing to monitor before and after. You just use the machine and get the before and afters. But during this study, they also noted on a case study type of basis the individual results of the patients and what was happening to them. And they found varied type of things happening to different people. That's the thing about the heart body extract is it is going to affect different people in different ways because we all are very unique. We're all very different. So basically the formula will help people with the areas that are the most important, and different people have different problems. Like for myself, I needed help with balancing my blood pressure. I also needed help with regulating my heart rate and heartbeat and helping with palpitations. And I further needed help with congestive heart failure problems. So those are my issues. My issues would be different from Dottie's issues, and Dottie's issues would be different from Joe's issues, etc. So they noted different kind of effects on the different patients, and they were very amazed at the results that people were getting. And one of the doctors, Dr. Chris Benz, a very nice young man, he said to me, you know, Sharon, if this was a drug, it would be on the front page of the newspaper exclaiming, you know, here's some serious news for heart health. But because it's a nutritional supplement, we wouldn't get that kind of publicity. It's only the drugs that get that, you know. But you know what? Ours is better than the drugs.
It's a good thing it's not a drug because,
exactly.
You know, there's no way you can get anything on the market with a drug. They will not allow anybody to put a drug on the market if you're not a multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical company, because the pharmaceutical companies provide money to the FDA, and they have an agreement. I mean, you give us money, and because that's supposedly because we're having to spend a lot of time going over your drugs to make sure they work, and you give us money, and we're not going to let any small people come in and compete with you. And that's really how the system works, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, the purpose of federal regulation is not to protect you. It's to protect the big drug companies from competition, and they do a very, very good job. We'll be right back. So in many ways, Sharon, you're very, very fortunate that you're not a drug, that you are a health product. And that way, of course, you can market this and certainly help people, and not only here, but...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Schedule. Go right ahead, Sharon.
Yes, and let's say somebody weighs 220 pounds, then they would take 0.75 mil. And let's say they weighed 300 pounds, they would take 1 mil. So depending on the weight, that's what you take. And remember we were talking about earlier pets and children can take the formula. Let's say the child weighs 50 pounds, then they would take... what would it be? It would be 5 drops 3 times a day. So that would be what they would take for a child. And for somebody that's 100 pounds, they would take 10 drops 3 times a day. One of the wonderful things about Heart and Body is you can't take too much. It's very safe. Even if a person had the whole bottle, the worst that would happen is a little bit of diarrhea. So it's very, very safe. And from time to time, people might have episodes, like an irregular heartbeat episode or an angina episode. We say, take it until it goes away. And that happened to me one time when I went to a buffet. I had an irregular heartbeat episode, and I wasn't able to get up. I just had to lay down, and it was really, really hurting. So I took probably about... 90 drops within 20 minutes and it finally disappeared. So feel free to take extra in the event that there's a cardiac episode.
Well, you know, herbs have been around for 4,000 years. They've been used and, you know, people have determined where they're effective. And certainly 125 years ago, they were the primary means of medicine. Then, of course, the pharmaceutical companies moved in and began to finance the medical schools, and then they changed the entire thrust of medicine away from using herbs and other things that were known to work to using pharmaceuticals and certainly doing blood tests and looking at the numbers on the blood tests. And they look at your cholesterol and they say, well, we're going to give you a statin drug. It's going to lower your cholesterol. And ladies and gentlemen, statin drugs lower your cholesterol. They lower your cholesterol by poisoning your liver. And, of course, you get the cholesterol down, but does it do you any good? And if you look at the statistics, the large statistics, and you'll see these advertisements for Lipitor, and they say, you know, now, if you've never had a heart attack or a stroke, you know, but your cholesterol is up, why, I mean, you ought to ask your doctor if Lipitor will help you. Well, what they're telling the doctor, he said, oh, is, my goodness, you're going to, you're getting 30% reduction in heart attacks strokes if you take the Lipitor. Well, 30% reduction is the difference between 3 people getting a heart attack or stroke or 2 people getting the heart attack or stroke. And when you look at all the complications, why, you suddenly realize it isn't worthwhile. But the doctor doesn't read the fine print. The difference between 3 per 100 and 2 per 100 is not 30%. No matter how you do it, But that's the claim that they make. And then in the fine print, you find out what they're really talking about. And these are great scams. They're talking about billion-dollar scams, and the complications of these drugs are just overwhelming, as we saw with Vioxx. In fact, I was listening on television to a Celebrex ad the other evening, and they showed this man sitting on a couch, and then they were sort of like taking pictures of him as he began to get up and walk, and the pictures would go more frequently until eventually it was just like a motion picture. And you were just fascinated by what they were doing, and they were talking about Celebrex. And it says, you know, and it could lead to a heart, and it could lead to a heart attack, it could lead to a stroke, it could lead to death, you know, and it could lead to gastric bleeding. Ask your doctor if Celebrex is good for you. Okay. And you're intent upon all the rhetoric and the pictures. I mean, they're talking about it killing you. But, of course, you can't sue them because they've already told you this drug may kill you. You know, this is an arthritis drug, probably works a little bit better, maybe no better than aspirin. But basically, they sell billions of dollars of all of these drugs. It works just like Vioxx. And many people think it should have been taken off the drug, off the market, right along with the Vioxx. Well, one time more, let's go ahead and get your telephone number. Let's get your web page out there, Sharon, and then we'll let you and Dottie go.
Sounds good. So we have a website. It's heartandbody.com, heartandbody.com. And then our phone number is 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being with us. Glad to have you back. We will talk to you again next month.
Okay, thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye, Dottie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. We're going to have open lines the next hour, so give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. The world revolution continues. They overthrew the government of Tunisia. Lebanon, the government of Lebanon, is total chaos. We'll be right back.
God bless America,
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and, of course, it's open lines for the rest of this half hour, so if you're out there across America, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, what you must understand is that the World Revolutionary Movement began with the American Revolution in 1776, followed just a few years later, about 13 years later, with the French Revolution in 1789. And then, of course, it set off a series of revolutions in Europe, repeated revolutions in France and Italy and Germany. And, of course, it led, of course, to the First World War and the Second World War and the Russian Revolution. And really, of course, the revolutionary movement still going on. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we had the revolution in Nepal. Today, this last couple of 10 days, we've had a revolution in Tunisia. Did you ever wonder how you get tens of thousands of people out in the streets demonstrating? You have to have an organization to do that. Who has sufficient money to have be able to finance a revolution today? You go back and you study the Russian Revolution back in 1917. You read the things that were written at that time, and they will tell you that Lord Milner, who of course led Cecil Rhodes' secret society at that time, we've got books written at that time. Lord Milner, who of course was part of this movement to bring about a world government, was there financing the revolutionary movement, financing the various military units in Russia to engage in the first revolution. That was the March Revolution. There was a March Revolution. There was an October Revolution. Milner financed the first Russian Revolution. Right now, we know, for instance, that our government is financing the revolutionary movement in Iran. We put out $400 million to finance terrorists there to try to destabilize and topple the Iranian government. But they do this with city governments throughout the world. We want to get rid of the government. We finance its overthrow. Well, we saw how beautifully they did this when I was living in South Africa. And, of course, they did not finance a revolutionary movement other than the African National Communist Organization, African National Congress. And the CIA was working behind the African National Congress. Why? Because they wanted to bring a communist government to power, a communist government which would go along with the idea of a one-world government. Then, of course, before that, they toppled the Rhodesian government. They actually brought the communists to power in Rhodesia. That was in Mugabe. Mugabe was trained in communist China. And it's really very interesting. We hear a lot about rare earths today. And certainly if you're following the markets at all, you'll find the cost of rare earths have gone up. In fact, they've gone up. I mean, you're talking the stocks have gone up 2,000 or 3,000% in the last year, year and a half, because China is the sole source of rare earths, and certainly they're holding them back to drive the price up. Now, basically, of course, 20 years ago, the major source of rare earths was Zimbabwe. But, of course, we've turned Zimbabwe over to Red China. They have their troops there. They control that country fairly effectively. Of course, we keep Mugabe in power. We send him a lot of money in the name of humanitarian aid. And then we criticize it, but we just never can bring pressure to bear to crush the country, because we really don't want to trust it, crush it. We want to keep a revolutionary government in power. And, of course, half the people have fled from the country. They've impoverished the country. It's a great experiment on what American foreign aid, what America can accomplish. The people of Rhodesia didn't want Mugabe. They elected a man named Bishop Mezuweo. He was a moderate black man, and he wasn't acceptable to the American State Department. They demanded another election. They rigged the election. They brought Mugabe to power. We've kept him in power ever since then. Oh, we say, he really ought to give more in the way of freedom. And it's sort of like we do with Red China, you know. I mean, Red China is the most ruthless regime in the world today, perhaps outside of Burma. And we could certainly cut off all relationship with them. We could put embargoes on them. We could stop their athletes from participating in the International Olympics, as we did with South Africa. We could put embargoes. We could prevent them getting money anywhere in the world. But we didn't do that. We're financing this ruthless tyranny. In fact, it's American corporations and American banks and American agencies, the World Bank, the IMF, the Asian Development Bank, etc., 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 that has built up this ruthless regime in China. And nobody ever asks why. Well, Chris, let me explain to you this rare earth bit, because this is a beautiful example. Certainly, China is not the sole country that can produce rare earths. There is large deposits in Rhodesia. But, of course, the Chinese are there. They have some troops stationed there. We keep the government in power with so-called humanitarian aid. And they've driven up the cost of rare earths, and which are pretty essential now for building the windmills and building the batteries and all of these other things that are so important. Really, rare earths is in many of the computers. There are certain products there that are so vitally important to scientific knowledge and advancement. And so the Chinese are just making money hand over fist, because the Chinese have the exclusive rare earth, not only controlling their rare earth deposits, but of course Rhodesia's rare earth deposits. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what you're never going to hear is that the United States has massive deposits of rare earths. Well, if we have rare earths, why aren't we marketing them? Why are we having to buy them from Red China at exorbitant prices so we can build our windmills and our motors and batteries and all of these things? Well, because the environmental movement won't let us do it. Well, where does the environmental movement get their power? Well, they're well organized and they lobby. And ladies and gentlemen, the environmental movement was created by the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's funded by the great tax-exempt foundations. It's even funded by our government. And its purpose is to block development in here so that we can justify massive transfer of wealth to communist China. Because, you see, they want these communist governments in power, as long as they're cooperative. If they're uncooperative, like Allende was in Chile some years ago, because you know what happened to Allende, but as long as they're willing to go along with us in this drive towards the one-world government, and that has always been the goal of communism, was a one-world government, and that has always been the role of, and the goal of our government, the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's all about establishing a one-world government, destroying Christianity. I mean, there's no government that's more anti-Christian than communist China. Do you hear anything about, religious freedom when WHO comes over here, Premier WHO? Oh, no, we just have to be so nice to him and listen to what he has to say. And basically, people do not understand the primary purpose of American foreign policy is to establish a one-world government, to transfer America's wealth to other nations, to build up the economy of other nations, and to destroy the economy here, and they're doing a great job of it. And we're told, oh, things are getting better here. Oh, my goodness. Ford Motor Company has hired 7,000 workers. Isn't that wonderful? Ladies and gentlemen, we've lost 8.5 million jobs. They tell us the housing market is getting better because people are buying homes. But 1 million people lost their homes last year, and probably far more will lose their homes again this year. And the Obama administration keeps coming up with these plans, and they never work. Why would the Obama administration keep coming up with plans that don't work unless they were designed not to work, unless it's all political theater to make you think that we're trying to solve the problem when we're really not trying to solve the problem? Certainly, we've pointed out in the past, they passed legislation to outlaw, incandescent light bulbs here, so we can manufacture light bulbs, mercury light bulbs, over, and I don't like to refer to them as fluorescent light bulbs. We should refer to them as toxic mercury light bulbs. Toxic mercury light bulbs. The name of a product can have a lot of influence on how people look at it. This is the toxic mercury light bulb. These are primarily manufactured in communist China, not in China, in slave labor, communist China. They cost a great deal more. You can buy, and I recently bought Philips light bulbs, incandescent light bulbs, for about 20 cents each. The ones manufactured in China cost about $4 each, but they're being subsidized to drive the price down, because it's being subsidized with your money. But since you can buy them much cheaper, you can buy them about $1 each, $1.30 each. And, of course, the reason that we want to shift to the toxic mercury light bulbs is because they save energy. Of course, the light bulbs burn out if you turn them off and on. If you leave them on full time, I'm told that they do last a lot longer than an incandescent bulb. But on the other hand, if you turn them off and on, they don't last anywhere near as long. And certainly in my experience, putting in incandescent bulbs right next to the fluorescent light bulbs, to the mercury light bulbs, the mercury ones actually, in my experiment, burned out much earlier. But they've done some studies, and they say, well, you know, they just don't burn as long as we thought they were. We thought that, you know, they only burn about 60% as long as they thought they would. But if you leave them on all the time, they don't burn out so soon. Now, why do we want to, of course, use them? Well, they save electricity. So if you leave them on all the time, they'll last a lot longer, but if you turn them off, they're going to last a lot less. And, of course, we want the mercury, toxic mercury light bulbs, because they use less electricity, supposedly only about 60% less electricity than an incandescent light bulb. But if you leave them on full time so they don't burn out so soon, why, you burn a lot more electricity. But, ladies and gentlemen, we can argue back and forth whether they're a good idea or bad. But what you are really seeing is an organized effort to shift production to communist China. So forget about the rhetoric about saving electricity. Forget about the rhetoric about burning longer or not burning longer, or turning them off or on. It's really about closing down plants in the United States and opening plants in communist China. And basically, why would Congress passed legislation for that? I thought we wanted to make jobs here in America. But you see, that's what you are being told, and President Obama keeps talking about, oh, we want to get jobs here in America. And then, of course, we're going to go solar. We're going to go to solar energy. And who's producing most of the light, most of the solar panels? Why, communist China. And they use some of the rare earths and these things that the products we have to import from China. We do have about 15% of the world market in solar panels. China has over 50% of the market in solar panels, and they can produce them a lot cheaper. And they're closing our plants down here in the United States. American producers are closing them down. One of the three large companies closed a plant down just this last week to move to communist China, because it's much cheaper to produce them over there than it is here. Well, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The world revolution continues, as I pointed out earlier. Oh, Tunisia, the government fell, and somebody coordinated that revolution. If you think revolutions occur just spontaneously, you're incredibly naive. We saw the demonstrations during the Vietnam War. They were all coordinated by the communists here in the United States. And who was funding the communists here in the United States? Why, the great tax-exempt foundations. Certainly, there's a book called, I think, The Strawberry Report, put out by some young man who was part of the SDS. He talked about how the people from Esso, Standard Oil, were coming to them and giving them money, giving the radicals money to create all this ruckus during the Vietnam War, so that the moderates would look certainly less radical. And so you say, oh, those are really radical. These are more moderate. These were the forces being financed by Exxon. But they were financing the radical movement, exactly as the oil companies in large part began financing the whole environmental movement. It's being funded by the foundations today. It's being funded by our own government to influence government laws. And when you understand the purpose of the environmental movement is to destroy the economy of this country, then it all begins to make sense. We've got more oil in the United States than they have anywhere in the world. We've got the largest deposits of natural gas and of coal, I think, secondary only. I think China and the United States have the largest deposits of coal, and everything is being done to block the development of that, this whole idea of the carbon footprint, and we've got to cut down on the CO2 emissions. Do you know how much CO2 there is in the atmosphere? 0.038, 38 thousandths of 1%. And 95% of that 38 thousandths of 1% comes from the ocean. It doesn't come from the activities of man. It comes from the ocean. And because when you have sunspots and when you have solar activity, while you have a warming of the atmosphere and it warms the ocean and it gives off CO2, and nobody's telling the American people that. What's this really all about? Well, of course, the whole idea of cutting back on greenhouse gases really is all about stopping the production of energy in the United States. Solar energy and wind energy are very inexpensive, are very inefficient and extremely expensive, and the whole idea is to run up the cost of electricity so that you will be forced to use less electricity, to force energy-dependent industries out of this country to other countries. When you understand this, why, of course, it all makes sense. Because if you're looking at it logically, it isn't logical. It isn't logical to destroy the industrial and agricultural production in the Central Valley of California, unless, of course, you want to shift agricultural production to other countries. It isn't logical, of course, to shift certainly rare earth production to other countries when we have adequate supplies here, of course, unless you want to bankrupt America. Well, let's go to Harold, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Harold. How are you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Stan?
I'm doing fine. Question or comment?
I was just kind of I was hearing you talk about the Tusani government and everything, and I know that they only kicked out the president and they left the regime there.
Right.
So obviously they just wanted that guy out, huh?
No. Actually, they're forcing the other people out. No, they want to bring in a government that will be reliable, will go along with the movement towards a one-world government. That's what it's all about. I mean, some of these Muslim leaders think that they're running their countries. They don't want to give up their power and turn it over to the globalists. But it's all about the transfer of power to the one-world government. It's all about globalization. One-world government, one-world religion, one-world ruler. This is what it's about. It's been around it for 4,000 years. And that's what's really going on today. But we can't let the American people know. That's why we're transferring our industries to other countries and why we're going to lower our living standards and impoverish our people. Hang on. We'll be right back. Go ahead, Harold.
Right. I totally agree, and I think it's out in the open. You know, if you watch mainstream television or anything like that, it's blatant, you know, what they're doing to the American people. And I had one more question.
Okay, but the average...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Going, we were faced a little while ago with the prospect of giving up shortwave, but we have so many listeners out there who don't have computers and don't have unlimited minutes on their telephone, and we've got to, for the time being, keep our shortwave going, but so you'll have to go right along when we have our advertisers on and helping us be able to fund the rather expensive shortwave. It is expensive. But, Chris, we have all the new things. If you have an iPhone, you can listen to our programs. Suddenly, 24 hours a day, you can listen on MP3. You can listen on a handheld telephone or on a regular telephone if you have an unlimited minutes, simply by calling. My program is 1-760-LOW. S-O-1-1, that's 760-L-O-W, low, S-O-1-1, and you can dial in and listen 24 hours a day. You won't get much accomplished, but get other people listening. And when they first hear these things, it just sounds so incredible. But if they read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, they understand the spiritual forces behind the scenes. We do carry, of course, Gary Allen's excellent book, Nandair Call a Conspiracy, will take you into the Council on Foreign Relations. We carry John Stormer's book, Nandair Call a Treason. Oh, we carry so many books that will really give you insight into what's going on. Go to our website and read our newsletters. I was just rereading yesterday this one where we quoted Sidney George Bush in his second State of the Union message. I guess it was his inaugural message, where he talked about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Now he put some verbiage in there to confuse the issue, but what's this? Our founders declared a new order of the ages. They were acting on an ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled. Remember, George Bush is a member of a secret society. His father was a member of a secret society. His grandfather was a member of the secret society that dates back almost to the time of the Illuminati. And all of the secret societies, whether it be the Illuminati or the Rosicrucians or the Theosophists or the Templars, they were all tied into this desire to bring about the one world government. Go up on the Internet and look up the phrase New Order of the Ages. Now, you'll find this, George Bush's second inaugural address, and we have this in one of my talks, and we even have this, his second inaugural address there. And you'll find out that this is what he said when our founders declared a New Order of the Ages, and then verbiage, verbiage, verbiage. They were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. In his first inaugural address, he talked about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. The angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm, and you can get the exact terminology, go to your search engine, Radio Liberty Letter, Angel Rides in the Whirlwind, and you can get the exact reference to it. And basically, that's Lucifer. That's what it's all about. But how many people heard that? He used the term not once, but twice in his first inaugural address. How many people understood that Skull and Bones, the inauguration of Skull and Bones, you bow before a replica of Lucifer? And if you doubt that, go to WilliamHKennedy.com's website, WilliamHKennedy.com, and watch the inauguration there. Somebody filmed it at the risk of their life. And believe me, they risk their lives because these people are vicious and they kill people. But there you'll see the recruits being initiated into the Skull and Bones, bowing before a replica of Lucifer. You need to, of course, get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the four-tape set we have on Skull and Bones. You need to get the four-tape set we have on Deadly Assassins, and a four-CD set. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they really do kill people. You need to get the four-tape set on Martin Luther King. Four-tape set, certainly on Bobby Kennedy. And then, of course, help us get the information out while there's still time. And please pray for Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, of course, on Friday evening at this time, we have William Grigg with us. Hi, William. How are you doing?
Dr. Stan, I'm doing well. It's always a pleasure to be with you. How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, good.
What are we going to be talking about?
There's a potpourri, really, of topics that we could discuss, and all of them have to do with the common theme of the war of the ruling elite, the Dark Brotherhood, the Brotherhood of Darkness, if you will, against what remains of human liberty and decency. As a starting point, I think one really important story that builds on a couple of things we've discussed before, all these subjects, of course, that we discuss are ongoing threats and ongoing assaults against liberty and dignity. So these stories, of course, always are, if you will, snapshots of a moving stream. But this is really disturbing on a couple of fronts, and it represents an escalation in the war on the fundamental idea of individual liberty protected by law, particularly with respect to the right to armed self-defense. The basic understanding of government and of individual liberty as codified in the Constitution, actually going all the way back to Runnymede before that and the Anglo-Saxon heritage of law, is that you don't have, if you're a ruling elite, you do not have the right simply to take property or individual liberty from somebody without demonstrating that that person is a credible suspect with respect to the violation of an actual law, a published, identifiable, definable law. There has to be probable cause. In our system, of course, there has to be a warrant of some kind that's involved in the arrest. Either the police officer in question has to witness what appears to be a crime, or you have an affidavit, a warrant, or a sworn warrant based on the accusation of two witnesses, that sort of thing. Goes all the way back, of course, to the biblical principle, there have to be two witnesses to an offense. The offense has to be against a written law, and there has to be the mens rea, there has to be criminal intent. We've dispensed with that almost entirely in this country that used to be, of course, the freest country on earth.
But wait a minute, it's so much more efficient if we're not tied down by the Constitution. I mean, basically, the Constitution is a hindrance to law enforcement, and yet, of course, without it, why, of course, you have tyranny. But go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. It's a hindrance to law enforcement. It's supposed to be a hindrance to law enforcement because the government's supposed to justify before the law anything that it does by way of an infringement upon the liberties of an individual, and those infringements are really justified in terms of protecting liberties. They're not supposed to be carried out by way of preemption, for instance. Well, we no longer have that. We have the system, a system that was defined by Vyshinsky and Beria in the Soviet Union. Lavrenti Beria, the head of the secret police, used to say, "Find me the man and I'll find the crime." And that's the system we're living under right now. Now, I've referred before to this perfectly horrifying case in Massachusetts of Gregory Girard, who had his guns taken from him and was locked up for psychiatric evaluation. This is over a year ago. Well, guess what? There's another case like that that's just erupted within the last couple of days, also in Massachusetts. And this, of course, represents by this time a trend. And I think that that's something we need to talk about in terms of where that's going to lead us.
Well, I think that people have to be constantly on the alert. Somebody once said, "Freedom never close thine eyes in slumber, for thine enemies never sleep." And there really are people who want a dictatorship in America. There really are people who would say, "Oh, we had a shooting in Arizona. We're going to have to restrict the rights of everybody to buy a gun." Well, unfortunately, if you're going to live in a free society, there are going to be problems, but what's the alternative? Go right ahead, William.
So, Dr. Stan, you ask, what's the alternative when we're dealing with the occasionally tragic consequences of people using license and mistaking that for liberty when it comes to an assault upon the liberties of others? You know, the alternative is living in a society in which we're all equally miserable under the heel of an all-powerful government. Now, last year, Gregory Girard was turned in by his wife to the local police on suspicion of being basically psychologically unbalanced because of his political views. He's a resident of Massachusetts. He was never charged with a crime, yet all of his legally obtained and licensed firearms were confiscated from him, and he was subject to prolonged mental evaluation on the basis, really, of a complaint filed by his wife. That must be a very interesting domestic arrangement, that he had become obsessed with the idea of some kind of an apocalyptic assault on American liberty. Well, chances are we're seeing an unfolding apocalypse. Apocalypse, of course, means revelation or unveiling. What's going on right now could be considered a slow-motion apocalypse, but Gregory Girard was never found to be unbalanced. He was never charged with a crime. And yet his guns were confiscated, and he ended up being placed on probation without ever being charged with a crime. Well, you mentioned, Dr. Stan, this horrible incident a couple of weeks ago in Tucson, Arizona. There's an immensely foolish young man by the name of Travis Corcoran, who's also from Massachusetts, Arlington, Massachusetts. This is from USA Today. Police have seized a Boston-area comic book dealer's arsenal. It's always interesting when they call it an arsenal. I prefer to call it a gun collection, unless you're dealing, of course, with a large depot where you have weapons which are being stored for military or paramilitary use. Anyhow, the story editorializes that this was an arsenal. Police have seized a Boston-area comic book dealer's arsenal and suspended his gun license over a blog post that suggested other members of Congress and their aides should be targeted in the wake of the shooting of Arizona Democratic Representative Gabrielle Giffords. In a post titled, "One Down, 534 to Go," let me interject here, this is not only stupid, it's immoral, I would say that it is evil, However, I'm not convinced it's criminal to write what he wrote. But in any case, I want to go on record as saying that what he said is not only tactically indefensible, it's morally unsupportable as well. Even to be joking about killing human beings in this fashion. I don't care whether they're members of Congress or not. To be joking about killing other human beings is a horrible thing. In a post entitled, One Down, 534 to Go, Travis Corcoran wrote, quote, "It is absolutely, absolutely unacceptable to shoot indiscriminately. Target only politicians and their staff and leave regular citizens alone."
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Cindy William is talking about a case in Massachusetts where Travis Griffin, a gentleman, young man, wrote very, very foolishly, one down for, I guess, 535 or 534 to go, and said that you shouldn't shoot indiscriminately, you should only target members of Congress and their staff. Well, that is just totally reprehensible thing for him to have written, in my estimation, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. You shouldn't be talking about committing lethal acts of criminal violence against other human beings, whether they're politicians, whether they're common citizens, whether you're talking about people living here or living abroad. You shouldn't be talking about summarily killing other human beings. That's a violation of one of the 10 big big and clearly written moral injunctions, commandments, imperatives that we were given by way of a definitive statement of morality from the creator of morality and the creator of each of us as well. You do not have the right to be even speaking glibly about committing acts of murder. That's not something that I would consider to be in any way, shape, or form defensible. I'm not certain that it should be prosecuted as a crime. But here's the kicker, Dr. Stan. This guy hasn't been charged with a crime. The story continues. "We certainly take this as a credible threat and credible until we prove otherwise," said Arlington Police Captain Robert, I believe it's pronounced Bongiorno. Now think about that for a second. The default assumption is that he's guilty of making a threat unless he can prove the negative that he wasn't making a threat. He could have been engaging in a backward adolescence burlesque of Swiftian satire, for instance. It's entirely possible that he considered this to be an act of masterful comic parody. I don't think that it's anything of the sort. First of all, I'm not laughing, and I don't think anybody else would be laughing about this as if you're dealing with something that's japish and whimsical. It's not. It's horrible. At the very least, it's in profoundly bad taste. But the point is, it's not a credible threat if he's speaking in the subjunctive mood or if he's speaking in a hypothetical sense about how he thinks that things ought to unfold. That's not a specific threat. That's not person-specific. And certainly he doesn't have the means to be killing 534 people who are protected, at least most of the time, by law enforcement and by military personnel. So you're dealing here with something that is, in my opinion, the moral equivalent of a really bad and profoundly adolescent joke. But yet you have the police captain here saying that it's a credible threat, and it's credible until we prove otherwise. So the guilt is assumed, and the burden of proof is on the defendant here. "Officers confiscated a large amount of weapons and ammunition," he said, without offering specifics. A source told WBZ-TV that 11 guns were taken. 11 guns, by the way, is not an arsenal. That's barely a collection. Most of the people I know who own guns have more than 11, more than a dozen guns in their possession. It's not considered an arsenal. But this is a way of engineering the language that you hear quite frequently on the part of people who are in the courtier press, whether you're talking about people who are in the bureaucracy or their stenographers, the mainstream media. Anytime you find weapons in the possession of mere mundanes, those of us who are not part of the consecrated elite, part of the brotherhood of coercion that is the government, particularly, of course, their costumed janissaries and functionaries, those of us who are not part of that caste, when we have possessions of, when we have collections of weapons in our possession, they're arsenals. Just as any home that comes under assault by the government suddenly becomes a compound. That's the part of the ritual of language engineering that is used in order to create an impression in the public mind that people are dangerous as people rather than people who organized and who've given themselves a license to impose themselves on others by force, that's when, of course, things become dangerous. Kakorin, 39, who runs the online comic site Heavy Ink and calls himself an anarcho-capitalist, has not been arrested or charged with any crime. Local and federal authorities are investigating. After his post generated traffic and attention, he soft-pedaled his braggadocio in an interview with the Arlington Advocate, saying at one point, "Can you reform by shooting politicians? I don't think you can." But in a Twitter exchange recounted by the liberal blog Think Progress, Kakorin explains his anti-government philosophy and why and when political assassination may be legitimate. Let me stop right there and say, I don't think it's ever legitimate. I do not think assassination is a legitimate tactic. I don't believe that murder is a legitimate tactic. I believe in the defensive use of force, and that would include lethal force when necessary. I believe that if you have legitimate authority to protect somebody, in my case, I'm thinking specifically as the head of a household, and you do not exercise that authority and harm comes to somebody over whom you have been given the moral responsibility of protection, then you bear the blood guilt for the life that was extinguished that you should have protected. And that, in my opinion, is the only legitimate use of lethal force. Purely defensive with respect to oneself or those people for whom the individual using force has a legitimate, morally supportable responsibility of defense. That would not include assassination. But in this conversation that we're having, it's important to point out that if he indeed believes that's the case, if he indeed believes that you can bring about political reform by assassination, that does not differ in kind by one iota from the policies being pursued by the same government that is looking at him as a political criminal, because that is the stated and active policy of the regime headed by Barack Obama. They're conducting assassinations every single day. People are being summarily executed through the use of unmanned drones that are firing implements of mass death, appropriately called Hellfire missiles, at targets in Yemen and Afghanistan and Pakistan and heavenly knows where else.
Somalia, don't forget Somalia.
I should not forget Somalia. These are acts of political assassination that differ not one whit from what this fellow is accused of promoting. And yet, of course, he's being treated as a criminal. He has been summarily disarmed. And that, of course, illustrates one of the really nasty realities the system under which we live right now is that they transmute, sort of by way of reverse alchemy, they transmute something that is precious, namely a right. They reverse engineer that, they reverse alchemize it into the base metal of a government-issued privilege through licensure, which is just basically the government impeding your exercise of a right and redefining it as something for which you need to receive permission. In this case, they revoke his gun license and they confiscate his property, and that amounts to punishment without crime being committed. He's not been charged with a crime. This is sort of a floating bill of attainder type of situation where they're defining an offense in order to suit the circumstances of the crime and the individual, and that is a complete violation, a complete repudiation, rather, of one of the fundamental tenets of the Anglo-Saxon principles of individual liberty. The bills of attainder are impermissible. You cannot write a special use, specifically tailored statute or ordinance or enactment and use it to criminalize a person as a person. It has to be an offense, a positive offense against a law which is rooted, as Blackstone put it, in the laws of nature, meaning God's laws, divine laws, in order for it to be considered an actual crime. But this is such a perfect follow-on and such a perfect continuation of this Gregory Girard case, once again from Massachusetts last year, where there was no specific offense, there was no specific violation of even any of the municipal ordinances or any of the other positivist enactments that they want to enforce as law. They simply decided, on the basis of this ill-informed and thoroughly unwise and perhaps even unforgivable report by Gregory Girard's wife, that this guy was somehow a threat to others, although he had no criminal record and no record of misconduct of any kind. He was a well-respected computer engineer, somebody who had never caused any trouble for anybody, but because he had views that were considered politically dubious or politically unsuitable, And because he had a number of legally obtained firearms, he was defined as a danger to other people. And that's not, of course, the only case of that sort that happened last year. There was another case in the state of Oregon involving a man by the name of David Piles, who endured a very similar indignity when battalion strength assortment of law enforcement officers, two SWAT teams, officers from two local police departments, sheriff's deputies from at least two other counties, Oregon State Police troopers, surrounded his home and demanded his surrender. What had happened is that he had just been furloughed from a job. He was working, I believe, for the Department of Transportation in the state of Oregon. And after he'd been laid off, he bought two handguns and an AK-47 rifle. He did so legally. He went through all the hoops that had been spuriously set up by people who want to impede the exercise of our divinely appointed right of armed self-defense. He had done nothing to suggest that he harbored ill will toward anybody, and the reason why he had made these purchases was because he just received a tax refund, and he had been meaning to purchase handguns and a high-performance rifle. And so he bought those guns within what some people consider to be some suspicious interval of being laid off or furloughed from his job. And so the police, acting sua sponte on their own supposed authority, without any evidence of either criminal intent on the part of Piles or some kind of mental impairment, labeled him as a disgruntled employee, and they said that they had suspicion that he was planning retaliation of some kind against his employers, and they surrounded his home, demanded that he surrender, and that he turned over his firearms. They called him at 5:50 in the morning. He opens the door, and he sees that he's surrounded by armed strangers who were treating him as if he were a borderline terrorist for no reason at all. And he ended up being forced to undergo an involuntary psychiatric detention and evaluation. This the same kind of thing that's going on in these two cases in Massachusetts.
Well, of course, I hate to say this, but most of the psychiatrists I know really need a psychiatrist. In fact, the highest incidence of suicide I know of in the psychiatric profession, and they're going to tell us whether we're sane or not. Well, a few of them certainly are responsible, but, well, anyway, we'll be back in just a moment here with William Gray. Well, William, go right ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Was a mathematics student, but he was subjected. He volunteered for a CIA mind control experiment where they destroyed his faith in God and family and country. Now, why would we be putting our money out? Why would the CIA be putting out money to destroy people's fundamental beliefs? Well, they just wanted to see if they could do it. Were they trying to create a monster? They certainly did accomplish that goal. But why, ladies and gentlemen, stop and think about it. Why would they recruit a young man, brilliant young man, Harvard student, comes from a reliable family, put him into a program, destroy his belief in God, family, and country, and any sort of semblance to the values that you and I hold valuable? Why are we putting our tax money into something like that? Pick up the story.
Well, one of the things about this I find so provocative is the fact that this all happened in that window of time between roughly 1952 and 1963, when the military-industrial complex, the national security state, however you want to refer to this interlocking set of military intelligence and academic institutions, working with, of course, the tax-exempt foundations. Rockefeller money was used to fund these experiments at Harvard, as was money from the CIA and the Pentagon. There's a sort of yeasty ferment in the field of transformational psychology as applied to both the individual and to society at large. And Mr. Kaczynski graduated from Harvard, I believe, in either 62 or 63, I can't remember which. The experiments under Dr. Murray ended in 1962, and that was a really interesting year for a lot of things that were going on in the military-industrial complex. That's the year, of course, that you had the follow-on to the fundamental disarmament template for creating this transnational world government apparatus through the UN or through some successor organization that started with the Freedom from War document in 1962, which posited a three-stage plan where the United Nations would basically become the world sovereign and have a monopoly on nuclear arms and a monopoly on military force. And then 1962, the follow-on to that, Blueprint for the Peace Race was published. And even more importantly, there was a document called A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations, which was published at MIT by Lincoln P. Bloomfield. Lincoln P. Bloomfield's work, which is a very lengthy, detailed, and fascinating document, had been funded through the State Department, through, I believe, the Institute for Defense Analyses, and a couple of tax-exempt foundations helped to provide seed money in order to make it sort of a public-private deal. But in that document, Lincoln P. Bloomfield was talking about creating a secure global military environment for the Anglo-American elite working for the United Nations as some successor organization. To do this, it would be necessary to subject the American public to a series of sudden, violent, and traumatic shocks, basically to reboot the mass psychology of the country. Well, that was talking about the same process that Ted Kaczynski and this, two dozen, two dozen other very bright, very gifted, very ambitious young men were subjected to in the Murray experiments. It's the same idea. You find some way of uprooting the person's sense of where he is and who he is through these shocks to the system that sever his connection to the morals that he had been taught and the people he had loved. And you make him, therefore, basically a person who's alienated from everything that he is considered to be right and good and true. And once he's in that condition, you can remold that individual as you see fit. Well, that was the plan for the entire country, as described in that passage from A World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations.
And in fact, I remember in that passage why the authors made it was a Bloomfield? Or the
yeah, Lincoln said, Bloomfield.
Lincoln basically said, you know, if we didn't have communism as their enemy, why would have to create an enemy?
Yeah.
We'd have to create it.
Yeah, if the communist dynamic were greatly abated, we would have no incentive to submit ourselves to the program he was talking about, I believe is how he put it.
You have a better memory than I do. But I would simply point out for our listeners that the significant things about Ted Kaczynski, he, of course, when he went on trial, his lawyer, his defense lawyer assigned to him was a woman named Judith Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the lawyers in the entire country that they should pick for Jared Lochner, who do you think that they picked? The same attorney. Now,
yeah.
Of course, what's significant is not that they picked even the same attorney, but that she actively suppressed this information. She could have certainly gone on nationwide television. She had the audience of the entire nation. She had the ear of the nation. She should have said, look, I mean, here's this poor young man. He's a victim of a CIA mind control program. They destroyed his faith and belief. And certainly we should incriminate the CIA and CIA programs as well, mind control. But she didn't do that. Is there any mind control with Jared Lochner? We don't know. But if there is, I can assure you one thing. And that is Judith Clark, who is his attorney, will never tell us the truth. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan, and certainly, is there any significance to what we've brought out? Well, we don't know, but we do know one thing, and that is that nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, here is this, certainly, a very, very important issue. I mean, there are lots of little unconnected dots out there, and maybe someday we'll really understand what this is all about, and maybe there's no connection between them, or maybe there is. But really, the fact that they would pick Judith Clark as Jared Lochner's attorney, and never mentioned, you know, they mentioned that she was, been the defense attorney for Ted Kaczynski, but not the fact that she had concealed, actively concealed from public scrutiny, the fact he was a victim of CIA mind control. So go ahead with the story.
And that's exactly the opposite of what a conscientious defense attorney would do. A conscientious defense attorney, when dealing with somebody who's destined apparently for the gas chamber, the electric chair, or the lethal cocktail, would do everything that attorney could possibly do in order to diffuse and diminish the responsibility of her client. And if you have such a bright line connection between the client's actions and the traumatic experience that has occurred at a formative period in his life in which he was subjected to psychological and perhaps even physical or chemical torture by the government, you'd think that fact would be dwelt on at length and in depth by a defense attorney by way of inculpating the government, at least to some extent, in the derangement of her client. Now, Kaczynski was described in a Bureau of Prisons evaluation conducted in 1998 as somebody who had a mental defect that was related to his time at Harvard. Now, the Bureau of Prisons official who did that evaluation did not say anything about the mind control experiments, but she said that there's definitely something that happened at Harvard that alienated him and destroyed his moral foundation. That's the mental defect that was used in order to obviate the death penalty in the case of Ted Kaczynski. But the interesting thing is that when he went into the program administered by Dr. Murray, Kaczynski was subjected to a psychological screening. They found no trace of pathology, of a schizoid nature or otherwise, in Ted Kaczynski when he was 16, I believe he was 17 years old.
Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and William has just been talking about the fact that Ted Kaczynski, of course, was subject to CI mind control. Then, of course, he was released, graduated from Harvard and went out. And after they destroyed his belief in everything and transformed his personality, he becomes a Unabomber. But certainly this was never brought out. I mean, I wonder how many people out there really are aware of what we're talking about. There's a whole book about it. There's a great deal of information if you want to research it. But you're never going to hear it, or you're never going to, of course, connect the dots. Why, of all the attorneys in the entire nation, would they pick the same Ted Kaczynski's lawyer to defend Jared? You would think that somebody would have pointed out what I pointed out. I've never heard anybody point it out other than you. And certainly I think that it's so vitally important that we simply ask the questions. We don't have the answers, but there are a lot of very important questions. Where did Jared get the money to buy a gun? He wasn't working. Takes a lot of money to buy a gun. Mm-hmm. Where did he get the money for his drugs? Takes a lot of money for drugs. I mean, were his family giving him money for all of these things? I mean, what about his occult connection? What about some of the things he put up that suggested he might be a member of the Grim Reaper death cult? I mean, we're not hearing these things mentioned, Sidney. Could he be a victim of just simply occult mind control or even remote mind control? These things can certainly happen when you begin to understand occult forces. But nobody's answering or asking those specific questions. Why, of course, we simply show this picture of him. And this is a staged picture, with his head shaved, with his eyebrows shaved, with that wild look in his eyes. And we see that picture every place we look. That is the picture of what we are to believe about Jared Lochner. In other words, he's obviously crazy. That was a posed picture, ladies and gentlemen, and it was picked up on the front page of a New York Times magazine and shown over and over again in New York Times magazine, New York Times newspaper. They're implanting ideas in your mind, just exactly as when, of course, O.J. Simpson was going to be tried for murder. And he was picture was on the front page of Time magazine. And he was a very light-skinned black man. But they intentionally blackened his skin, because that issue was all about, you know, turning black against white and dividing the nation. It was a great psychological game they played on the American people. And they're playing games with our mind, with Lochner. I don't understand it, but you go ahead. I'm very interested in what your take on this is.
Well, the most important thing that we've discussed here with respect to the connection to Kaczynski is Judith Clark, and the fact that she has a history of subverting effective defense in the interest of suppressing things that are compromising to the governing elite. And once again, the thing that I find most striking about the Kaczynski case that probably have some relevance with Lochner as it unfolds here is the way that she did exactly the opposite of what any decently capable attorney would do in this circumstance. A reasonably competent attorney, when given this type of material to work with, would find some way of putting on trial those responsible for inflicting the mental defect on Ted Kaczynski, if indeed there is a mental defect here. Alston Chase, who did, I think, the definitive survey article about this 11 years ago in the Atlantic magazine, he's a wonderfully gifted writer who's also a Harvard graduate who also lives in Montana. He went to Montana about the same time that Ted Kaczynski fled there. Like Kaczynski, Alston Chase and Alston Chase's wife decided to live in a remote cabin, live off the land in a largely inaccessible way because they'd both, for their separate reasons, become disenchanted with the system. Alston Chase has not become a radical environmentalist. As a matter of fact, I think he's one of the more capable exposers and debunkers of a lot of what radical environmentalism is about. But he ended up becoming a correspondent with Kaczynski and going into great depth and of discussion and detail in their correspondence. Mr. Kaczynski, of course, is at the ADX Supermax prison in, I believe, in Florence, Colorado. And over the course of several years, Alston Chase conducted this correspondence with him and with his brother David, and he came away with the impression that Mr. Kaczynski is not at all clinically unbalanced, that there is no pathology involved in the guy. There's a moral derangement as a result of the personality, the assault on his personality that had taken place, the reformation, reconstruction of his personality through the CIA mind control experiment he was involved in. And if there is a mental defect, once again, if there's defect that is detectable by the tools that we have, it was something that was done to him by the government, because when he was a 17-year-old undergoing a mental and psychological evaluation, there was not a hint that he had any kind of psychopathology at all whatsoever. And yet, after the crimes that he committed, and after he was put on trial for these crimes, he was found to be somebody who was suffering from a deep and serious mental defect. Now, a decent defense attorney would really dwell on that and say, obviously, you're dealing here with a case of diminished capacity, in which the diminished capacity is the direct result of a criminal assault on this personality was funded by the United States government. But that's not where Judith Clark took the story. Now, in the case of Jared Lochner, what I think is interesting, you mentioned the staged photograph where he looks like Uncle Fester from the Addams Family on a crystal meth jag. That is an intentional tuning of the atmosphere here. And what I think we're going to find out is that there are probably some distant subterranean connections between this guy and some of the things that the government has been doing in terms of the assault on the moral foundations of the individual personality. But the more important questions I have about him are perhaps a little bit less dramatic, a little bit less lurid. His mother is a member of the county commission, and he was somebody who was known to be troubled for whatever reason, whether it's because of the fact that he was dabbling in hallucinogenic substances, or maybe he had some kind of a biological predisposition toward problems. There are things that we don't fully understand. We understand some elements of the whole suite of symptoms that are associated with genuine mental illness, but not having, not being the designers of the human brain, much less the architects of the human spirit, we're just engaging in guesswork here as to what really happened. But the fact is, he was known to be troublesome. He was known to be creepy and predatory and dangerous.
The thing is, he had made threats against this congresswoman, and the sheriffs knew this, and they visited him several times. And yet, of course, as soon as the attack takes place, what does the sheriff say? Sarah Palin did it. Rush Limbaugh did it. Basically, he realized, of course, that he's in real trouble because, of course, it happened on his watch. And knowing this man, this young man, really was a danger who'd made threats against her, you would have thought he would have had some sheriffs there watching over the congresswoman. He did not do that. And you have to ask yourself, is this simply covering himself as he tries to throw blame on somebody else, or is this part of this nationwide program? I'll never forget that very evening after the attack. My local radical left-wing congressman is talking about it's hate speech, it's toxic talk. Toxic talk was the term he used. Toxic talk. That's what killed the Judds and wounded Gifford. Toxic talk. And this was a coordinated program, carefully coordinated all across America. How could you possibly, within a few hours, have such a carefully coordinated program?
Yeah. And even if you're not dealing with overt and deliberate coordination, certainly these people have been trained and they're familiar enough with the choreography that they play their expected roles. I mean, after a certain point, when you've been trained for so long, whether if you're talking about deliberate regimented training or you're simply acquainted with the way that you're supposed to act, you've taken your cues, you've memorized your lines.
But these are new terms. I've never heard the term toxic talk yet.
Yeah.
They used it, and people use that term. You wonder, just a coincidence?
Yeah, that's definitely the implanting of a meme, and that takes us all the way back to Edward Bernays and Sigmund Freud and the very beginning of the the assault on language as a way of dominating the mind and recalibrating people's impressions. And with respect to Locke, it's interesting how the things that are described as indicators of his derangement, if indeed we're dealing with a mental psychosis here, the things that are defined as symptoms of this supposed psychosis are observations that are entirely rational. A Time magazine said that one of the warning signs he displayed was his criticism of Federal Reserve notes as worthless. Now, that's really interesting. Only a deranged person would recognize that the gaudy fiat script and worthless slugs that the government incessantly call money, that these things have no innate value. And if this is a symptom of derangement, then, of course, the people who are foreign investors who are fleeing from Treasury notes right now because of dollars being debased must suffer from the same derangement. Chances are this is not a symptom of derangement at all, but rather this is an addition in action. You know, they're voting with their wallets, their pocketbooks, recognizing that what Locke there concluded about Federal Reserve notes was true, and it's true irrespective of people of who says it.
In fact, you're absolutely right. Who said it? In fact, Premier Hu of China said essentially the same thing. the Federal Reserve is destroying the value of the currency, and he's very concerned about this, and everybody's very concerned about it. So, I guess he must be crazy if Lochner was crazy.
Yeah. Or for that matter, you could say that the former chairman of the Federal Reserve, Mr. Greenspan, himself would have to be considered deranged. Well, he's deranged, but not because of this. This represents, once again, an example of what Shakespeare said when he said that even the devil can cite scripture to serve his purpose. But back in, I believe it was 2008 or 2009, it was 2008, in less than 2008, that was the year the great collapse began from most people's perspective. But I've talked about this before. He went to address a meeting of the Gulf Cooperation Council in Saudi Arabia, and he said almost in so many words that the dollar is worthless, so you might want to get out of your dollar-denominated assets. This is the guy who did pretty much most of the damage that was done before Bernanke was appointed to that post. Most of the damage had already been done by Mr. Greenspan. And so, once again, if it's a token of mental instability to say that the currency is worthless, then you'd have to say that Mr. Greenspan would be a Jared Lochner in embryo. But the fact is, Mr. Greenspan's done far more damage than Jared Lochner, and he's been instrumental in killing more people than Jared Lochner killed, allegedly. I mean, Mr. Greenspan, as the head of the Federal Reserve, was exhalating so-called money, which was used to kill people by the hundreds of thousands. And yet that's not considered to be derangement. That's policy. And the other things about Mr. Lochner's supposed eccentricities that we're to look at now as symptoms of mental illness and potentially lethal mental illness, first of all, were his obsession with the language. He said that the government is trying to control people through the use of grammar, meaning the use of language. Well, that's something that George Orwell warned about. So I guess on that construction, we'd have to say that George Orwell was somebody who was at least as murderously deranged as Jared Lochner. And the other thing he said is that about Lochner's, the other thing Time magazine said about Lochner's supposed derangement was that he was obsessed with the idea of government mind control. And that once again takes us back to Judith Clark and Ted Kaczynski. And in my piece that I wrote about this a couple of days ago, Dr. Stan, the thing that I pointed out is that if Jared Lochner is actually obsessed with the idea of government mind control, you had to have a conversation about that with Judith Clark, and no doubt they're going to have conversations about that. But I think what's going to happen is that Judith Clark, as has been her modus operandi now, is going to find some way of negotiating a deal that will save Jared Lochner from the electric chair or the hypodermic needle in exchange for concealing everything that a decent defense attorney would be laboring to expose by way of making a case on behalf of her client. And in the adversarial system of justice, as it's supposed to be carried out, a defense attorney is ethically required by professional canon to do everything that attorney possibly can do within, of course, the practice, the honest practice and conscientious practice of that position, to undermine the prosecution's case. You are ethically and I think civilly required as a defense attorney to do everything you can to tear down the prosecution's case, and we shouldn't want it to be any other way, because the government has to overcome these impediments in our system before it places hands of violence on an individual and takes that individual's life, liberty, or property away. But Judith Clark, once again, has a well-established record of doing exactly the opposite of pulling punches and mitigating and adulterating and attenuating her defense in order to conceal those things that are of greatest interest to the public and most likely to compromise the government's case. And so it is monumentally implausible, in my opinion, that it was mere happenstance that she ended up serving this role in this tragedy now, this politically pregnant episode of violence, apparently irrational violence.
Have you seen the latest Newsweek magazine? Basically, of course, they show Lochner or the semblance of Lochner, and he's draped in a flag. It's over his head. It's about his body. And they have this on the front page. They have his back. Obviously, anybody who's patriotic, a gun, obviously, you know, potential shooter. Mm-hmm. I mean, wrapping patriotism and assassination, the two of them go together. I mean, the message is so pregnant in this the picture. I mean, it tells a message. They know exactly what they're doing. Of course, the Newsweek magazine has always been part and parcel of the enemy. It's changed hands. I notice it's getting thinner and thinner. Mm-hmm. I just hope that's a sign that it will soon get so thin it'll just fade away. But look, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a copy of Newsweek or see it on the counter, sitting in the local magazine store, and notice how this picture tells a thousand words. You're almost ashamed to be a patriot.
Yeah, that's the idea. If you see somebody who's conspicuously patriotic in the conventional sense, and particularly somebody who has firearms, talks about having firearms, is perhaps at loggerheads with the current administration, somebody who's really upset with the way the government has debased the currency, ruined the economy, and destroyed pretty much everything that we enjoy by way of protections of the Bill of Rights. Somebody like that should be looked at as being latently like Jared Lochner. And it's crude, it's childish, it's juvenile, it has all the subtlety of a burlesque show, but it works. That's pretty much the most coarsely attuned, lowest common denominator form of what Bernays called transfer, where you're finding some way of attaching that imagery that's associated with a hugely repulsive crime with that group of people that you want to systematically to dehumanize in the eyes of the public.
And of course, as Edward Bernays, the master propagandist, said, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they're doing. Look at that picture. Understand how it's being used. And then remember, you know, Sidney O.J. Simpson, very dark-skinned black man who, of course, had killed his white wife. Wonderful means of creating racial hatred in America. That's the sort of thing they feed on as they divide America. William, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. And when we get back, I will apologize for not getting the opportunity to...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show, 21 January, 2011. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for caring about your world, and we're going to have some fun today. Got a lot of stories that you need to hear. Now, don't think that these are just too stupid to be true just because they sound like they're too stupid to be true. Because one would like to think that they are too stupid to be true, but they're not. They are real. Joining me here in the studio is Josh today. Thank you, Josh, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Made it over here, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Trudging across the tundra.
Yeah, right. Feels like it. And Josh brought me a present today. Well, not me a present, but he brought me some shoes that he had bought for his son, which we're going to talk about. The light-up shoes. He bought some of those light-up shoes. You bought them and you didn't realize they were light-up shoes.
Yeah, we didn't. We let him pick some out, and they're having a big sale, so we stock up on multiple sizes, for future years, and didn't know, what they were until we got them home.
Oh, we're going to talk about them because, of course, Josh took apart the shoes. They are not wearable any longer, but we got something interesting for you to hear about with those light-up shoes. Also, if you're taking the drug Lunesta, what is that one on the TV with the butterfly chasing?
It's like a Pac-Man guy chasing a butterfly, but at first he's all sad, and the butterfly comes around. Then he takes his little pill, and, he's bouncing around.
So it's for the real intellectual sense.
Yes, and I always said that, I'd like to see him just chomp that butterfly.
That's good. But it never happened.
This was many years ago when we had television.
Well, Lunesta is a drug you need to know about. I mean, if you're taking it, you may want to think again, believe me. Also, we're going to talk about Attorney General Holder having an FBI news conference. Well, not really FBI, but every law enforcement agency in the world strutting their feathers because they caught